Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
With 3 weeks to go before the debt ceiling hits the fan, we'll check up on the latest calculations. I'm David Brancaccio. A half world away at a meeting of Group of Seven finance ministers in Japan, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen today issued fresh warnings about crashing into the debt ceiling, saying a U.S. government default could undermine the global economy. Her remarks come as a new report from the financial research firm Moody's Analytics warns that the economic damage could rival that of the Great Recession, with millions of job losses. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here with more.
Yeah, David, we've heard a lot of comparisons over the debt ceiling standoff with a similar impasse in 2011 when the nation's credit rating took a hit. But Moody's points further back. It's drawing comparisons to 2008 when Congress initially failed to pass the Troubled Assets Relief Program. And that led to a plunging stock market, spiking interest rates, and a freeze up in credit markets, which keep the economy moving. And then Congress reversed itself days later. Now, as for today, Moody's predicts even a short-term default would cause similar damage, 1.5 million jobs lost, a long-term increase in borrowing costs throughout the economy. And in the case of a prolonged default, which seems unthinkable, Moody's says we'd lose as many as 8 million jobs and we'd have another Great Recession.
Another Great Recession. President Biden is scheduled to meet again with congressional leaders tomorrow. You see any indications the sides maybe are closer?
Well, frankly, no. Congressional aides and White House officials are said to be talking behind the scenes, trying to get to a deal. But Biden was in New York State yesterday, blasting Republicans for insisting on budget cuts, unspecified ones tied to a debt ceiling increase. And then you had former President Donald Trump on CNN saying Republicans should let the country default unless they are granted massive spending cuts. And of course, Trump holds a lot of sway, David, in his party.
Nova Safo, thank you. Today marks a major shift in U.S. border policy, an end to what's called Title 42, a rule that had allowed U.S. authorities to swiftly expel people who come into the U.S. without permission. It was put into place to beef up borders during high COVID, but it's not the only way the pandemic has shaped recent migration flows. Marketplace's Elizabeth Trovall has more on how the post-pandemic economy is contributing to higher numbers of people coming into the U.S.
Whether people are leaving their countries for political, safety, or economic reasons, what makes them come to the United States is largely economic. The World Bank Group's De La Brotha.
United States is the largest economy in the world.
He says that economic might of the U.S. has always been a major pull factor. And now, in the post-pandemic economy,
we've seen a really strong recovery in the United States.
Julia Gillette is with the Migration Policy Institute.
Demand for workers has been really high, and our unemployment rate fell quickly to pre-pandemic levels and even below that.
She says in parts of Latin America, the recovery hasn't been so fast.
There are still strong economic challenges, higher unemployment rates, also higher rates of inflation that are kind of undermining the purchasing power of even people who keep their jobs.
She says migrants who are allowed into the U.S. quickly find jobs and make many times more than what they would back home. I'm Elizabeth Trovall for Marketplace.
A new U.S. guideline recommends women with average risk factors should get regular mammograms starting at 40 rather than 50. Preventative mammograms are covered by most insurance providers, but follow-up exams may not be, and the extra false positive results that'll come with earlier screenings also have costs. Ali Budner has more.
40 used to be the recommended age to start breast cancer screening. Then in 2009, it changed to 50. Now it's 40 again.
My doctor recommended it to me at 40. So this change was a little bit surprising because I thought it was already at 40.
Yaa Akosi-Antwi is an economics professor at Johns Hopkins University. Her own confusion aside, she says this change may have real economic consequences for insurance companies, providers, and patients. The Affordable Care Act requires insurers, including Medicare and Medicaid, to pay for preventative mammograms.
What this means is that perhaps insurance companies would pass it on to consumers in terms of higher premiums.
Or they might just absorb it, says health economist Jason Shaffrin with FTI Consulting.
If you detect people with breast cancer earlier, the cost of treating people at early stage breast cancer compared to later is much cheaper.
So earlier tests might be saving lives and lowering the cost burden on the system overall. But it's not that simple for clinics and hospitals, says Shaffrin.
Costs are rising and reimbursement may be lagging, especially for the public payers, Medicare and Medicaid.
For most insured patients, it won't cost any more to start getting mammograms earlier because they're fully covered. But the roughly 16% of people who get an abnormal result will probably need more tests. Unlike the mammogram, those might not be free. Heather Gold is a professor of population health at New York University.
That really depends on the individual's health insurance policy.
Anywhere from 7 to 12% of follow-up tests reveal no cancer at all. That's known as a false positive. And false positives can be financially, medically, and emotionally draining. Still, the uninsured are left completely behind. And Antwi at Johns Hopkins says there's a race divide.
African-American women are overrepresented in terms of people who are without insurance.
The U.S. Preventative Healthcare Task Force included in its announcement this week that Black women are 40% more likely to die of breast cancer than white women. And lowering the screening age may not be enough to change that. I'm Ali Budner for Marketplace.
And I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.